Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Oh, dear God.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I want all of you to bow your head, and I want you to pray.
Hey there, Lord. My name is Ashley Banks. My family and friends want to give you some thanks.
Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
I'm not normally a praying man.
Oh, yeah, we pray. We got to pray just to make it today. I said we pray.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
I'm no missionary. I don't even believe in Jeebus. Let me out.
Sorry, no can do.
Oh, save me, Jeebus.
Day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray.
Now I really must insist that you help me win the election tomorrow.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
Amen.
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 You can give me your thoughts and prayers. Second thought, the dead air might be more satisfying to me.
Well, I don't know about all of you, but That clip just brings up a lot of nervous laughter with me. It feels a little too close to home. And for those listening on the podcast, we're going to post that video on Facebook and let you take a peek at that as well. So we're in a conversation series called Thoughts and Prayers. And we're just acknowledging the fact that prayer is kind of weird, kind of different, and really important, part of who we are. So my name's Chris, and I'm with you this week to talk a little bit more about what prayer is, and specifically, we're going to get even a little weirder. And we're going to be talking about prayer with each other. Most of those clips presented a situation in which someone was praying with another person. How do we enter into that space of praying with each other? And today we're going to be talking about how there's something about that space that we create with each other when we pray with each other that brings us to some place bigger, some place deeper, some place more woven in, something outside of ourselves and outside of just the two of us and into something we can't quite put our fingers on. It's a time that we can be together in those thin spaces in life. Those spaces where everything just gets a little thin. What does it look like to walk with each other in those spaces? So I want to take a little poll for a second, and I want you to raise your hand if you have had what you would quantify as a bad experience either praying for or praying with or having someone pray with you. All right, about half, fair. Now, I want you to raise your hand now if you've had what you would quantify as a good experience praying with or for or together with someone. Oh, wow. I don't know about you, but I'm a little surprised. It felt like more hands went up the second time around. So there's something there. There's something both we can all know what bad prayer feels like that we saw in the clip, and it seems like most of us had an experience in which prayer brought something good. So why do we pray? Why do we enter into this space together? And we're going to be talking a little bit about what are we taking people into when we go into this space of prayer together? Where are we going in this space, and how do we get to this space together? So I want to start off by inviting us into thinking about what does this space look like as we talk about prayer together. So prayer together, first of all, this is going to be your first fill-in on your Sunday paper, so if you want to follow along that way, feel free to do so. So a prayer together creates a space for discovering something new. Prayer together creates a space for discovering something new. A place to explore not only something new in a world outside of our own, but a world inside of us and a world inside that relationship. Something that has never happened before. This something new has an incredible amount of possibilities that are just bigger and more than we can ever imagine. And the second spot that it creates with this space of praying with each other, it creates a space for discovering something surprising. Creates something surprising between the two of us. While we're creating this new thing, we are often brought into a place of not knowing what will come out of it. Of not knowing what that space is going to create. And this entering into this space of not knowing, of surprise, allows us to kind of shed those expectations of who we are, as well as who the other person is, as well as who this third strand is, this God thing. We get to let go of those expectations and allow something surprising and new to be created in the midst of that. There's a sense of freedom that we get to embrace in this place. And the third is that it creates a space for self, others, and God. A space for weaving together those three in some really intentional and intricate ways that, again, are both surprising and new to who we are and how we experience the world. And so I recognize that those three components of prayer, components of those space, can both draw us into as well as kind of make us nervous. It might draw us into discovering a space of something new. Some of us are just innate adventurers. We just love traveling and entering into new spaces that we've never been to before. Others of us, that creating something new is scary. We've never been there before. How are we supposed to know how to get around? And for some of us, that creating something surprising is really appealing because, wow, I don't know what to expect. I've never been here before, and so I can discover and learn something that's outside of myself. And others of us like that prediction, like to be able to say, I know what to expect, and here's the plan. And for some of us, this weaving together of self, God, and others is really appealing because, it's just kind of what we've been yearning for. A space to be able to weave something between the two of us and myself and this God thing that I never would have expected. And other of us feel kind of beyond that point. We don't really know if we believe enough to pray, to enter into that space of weaving. And so there's both kind of drawing us in as well as kind of taking us out of that space. And so I want to do a moment of practicing entering into a space that's not physically here but very much is real. And so we're going to do a little bit of a guided imagery meditation. So if you want to sit down, relax, put down your Sunday paper, put both feet on the ground, put in yourself of a space of welcoming. Close your eyes if that's something that feels comfortable. Just focus on your breathing for a moment. Allow yourself to just be in that space. And I want you to bring up the word peace in your mind. Allow yourself to be taken to a place that gives you peace. Maybe it's a favorite space of yours. Allow yourself to travel to that place of peace. Maybe a few different ones come to mind. Just settle into one. And as you arrive into that space of peace, just start to notice what's around you. What do you see in that space? What can you hear in that place of peace? What can you smell? What can you touch? And what do you feel about yourself in that place? What do you feel about who you are and how you interact with the world around you? What does that space have to tell you about yourself? Allow yourself to just soak in that place of peace. Relax into it. And then come back to your breathing. Breathing nice and deep in and out. And as you're ready, you can come back to this space. Come back to this room. And I want you to take a moment to turn to someone close to you and describe that place for them. So start with one person, then I'll tell you to switch. And what does that place look and feel and taste and sound like? And specifically, what's happening inside of you in that space? So go ahead and choose one person, and then I'll give a minute or so, and then we're going to switch to the other. I know this is too short a time, but go ahead and switch to the other person. All right, I'm going to bring you back. I think my favorite part about this is just watching the smile on people's faces as they start to reminisce about what that space looks like. So help me out here. What was it like to share that space with another person? What was going on inside of you as you were describing that place and taking your partner to that place? Yeah.
Well, I felt excited.
Excited.
Peaceful.
Energized.
Same.
Oh, wonderful. I love those adjectives. Those are perfect. What else? Someone else. What was it like to describe that to someone else? Take someone else to that space. Somewhat vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah, I can recognize that. Yeah, the place feels very important to you, and so it feels a little bit vulnerable to invite someone else into that space. Thanks, Paul. Say again. There was a connection there, made between the two of you when you were kind of inviting them into that space. I like that. And so part of what my goal is to that is start to get us used to traveling to another place with somebody. Now, this place, there is a component of vulnerability with it because this place does mean something to us, and yet there's some excitement and energizing aspects of inviting someone else in that space. There's a closeness that we create with each other when we invite people to a space that means something to us. And so what if that's true about inviting people into prayer with each other? What if we could start to kind of create this type of space for each other? So I want to start to describe what are some components about a space of healthy prayer together. What are some signposts and areas that we could look to define a healthy space of being in prayer with others? Now, I realize that this is not going to be an exhaustive list. I think this is a start of a conversation that we can continue to have both on the way home with whoever we may be driving with, or a roommate, or a spouse, or your family, or group life is a great place to have these conversations. And or just write them down in your communication card if you have some other components to a healthy prayer place. And so that pentagon that we got on your Sunday paper is kind of a place to describe those five components, those five kind of carrying spaces for that place. So the first side of that pentagon is love. A healthy prayer space requires love. And specifically what I want to focus on is, because love is a big word, and I think we can get taken all sorts of places with love. And specifically what I want to focus with this side is the care for that other person, that deep interest in who that person is and how that person kind of lives life, and that they deserve love because they deserve love because they deserve love. And I realize that part of the challenge here is that, yeah, it's great to love someone, and sometimes we just kind of want them to change, right? We want them to put down the addiction. We want them to get healthier in their depression. We want them to take steps of applying for a job. And so there's that tendency sometimes that I've felt in prayer with others of wanting to change people. And so to keep that reminder that that person deserves love. And that leads us kind of right into the next side of this pentagon, and that's respect. That a healthy prayer space requires that we have an immense amount of respect for the other person. That we respect who they are and what they bring to this space. One aspect of this side of respect is that we get consent from them to enter into this space. That we don't force them into this place of prayer, and instead we welcome them into this place of prayer. That we respect them enough to allow them to not enter in with us, and that's okay. Now again, there's a challenge here with keeping this respect in mind that I struggle with, and sometimes it's that I have no place else to go besides prayer, and I think this is the best or the most healthy decision for you is that we bring this to prayer, and yet the other person doesn't want to go there, isn't ready to enter into that space. So sometimes we need to let go of what that is in order to have respect for the other. The next side is messiness. That messiness is a part of this prayer container. That the realization that sometimes the stuff we pray about or we want help with prayer with others doesn't have an easy answer. Doesn't have a right or wrong answer, and instead there's just a messiness involved in there. One of the stories that I have in mind is I'm a hospital chaplain, and one family invited me into their room, and they had the patriarch of their family had just suffered a pretty massive stroke. And they had to make a decision in that moment of saying, either we're going to intubate that patriarch and be aggressive, that means kind of help him breathe, and be very aggressive with his care, or we're going to kind of allow him to pass and enter into kind of and die. And the family was really anxious and didn't know where to go and was like, can you pray about this? And I just had this internal kind of tear within me of, do I pray for healing and that we kind of are able to medically heal this guy, or that we have enter into peace of allowing him to pass. And I didn't know what to pray for, and so I kind of just entered into that space of prayer, confused and got distracted by it. And so at the end of the prayer, I had to admit this to the family. I didn't know what to pray for. And they said, yeah, we don't know what to do. And so there's a respect for that messiness of realizing that sometimes we just don't know what to pray for or how that's going to work out. And the challenge here is that, I don't know about you all, but sometimes I just want a fix. I want something to be fixed. I want a direction to go in. I want to clear up the messiness. And I think that's when prayer gets really dangerous, is when we want to impose our own ways of fixing into this space. I want some resolve for this space. And then the next, the fourth side of the pentagon is intimacy. I know that's kind of a scary word, and we intentionally chose it because of its scariness. And the beauty about intimacy is that it creates a closeness, creates a change in a relationship. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that I, in order to enter prayer with another person, I have to have an intimate relationship to them. And yet I realize that when we enter into that space, there is an intimacy there, a showing up there that we couldn't have necessarily predicted. And the challenge seems pretty clear for that side of the Pentagon, that sometimes I'm just not ready for that type of intimacy. Or I've been hurt by that type of intimacy before. Or that type of intimacy just kind of scares me. And I think part of the reason why it scares us is because of the fifth and final side of this Pentagon, which is vulnerability. A beautiful, healthy prayer space requires an aspect of vulnerability for us to enter into it. A realization that I'm coming is who I am. That a healthy prayer space means I leave all the masks that I wear in my life outside of that space. And I allow myself to show up in who I am. The space of prayer allows both people to enter into that space as who they are. Not who they should be or could be or would be, but instead how they are at this moment. And it's uncomfortable to be that kind of vulnerability. It feels scary. It feels like I might get hurt or I have no more power. And I want you to take a moment to think about that healthy space of prayer. Maybe we haven't asked somebody to pray with us for a while, and that's okay. And I want you to think, if this type of prayer space was created for you, of love and vulnerability and intimacy and messiness and respect, thank you, what would you be willing to bring into that space? And I want you to write that in the middle of the Pentagon. We're not going to share this with anybody, so don't feel like you need to have the right phrase. You can even just put a word there, or a reminder of what would you bring into that space if that type of healthy space was created for us. So feel free to just spend some time with that during this week or during this day or whatever feels comfortable for you. So we focused on this healthy version of what prayer space looks like, and yet by your hands, I realize that a lot of us, most of us, half of us at least, have experienced a unhealthy part of prayer. And I don't think it's fair to do to you or to me to not mention that there are unhelpful, unhealthy spaces of prayer that can be created. And so what makes them unhealthy? This is kind of our reverse Pentagon that we're creating. And some words that come to mind, some signposts for feeling this unhealthy place of prayer is manipulation, is having an agenda, is power and conditional, and hate, and being closed off. And I could go on and on and on, and I realize that, again, this is not an extensive list of words that are created in this unhealthy space of prayer. And I want to take a second to step back of and look at these two pentagons and realize that we can be drawn into craving perfection within these pentagons, right? That I'm not going to enter into a space of prayer unless I have these five healthy components of prayer, and I'm not going to enter into them if I have any willingness or drive for control or power or manipulation. And the realization is that we are messy people, right? That we are going to enter into these spaces with mixed motivations because we're broken. Maybe you're perfect, I don't know, but I know that in myself there are mixed motivations when I care for people or sit with people or want to be with people. So it's not about having all of the five and not having all of the negative signposts. It's the realization that what we are shooting for, the horizon that we're going for in this healthy space of prayer, and the components to avoid. So if we start to feel that we want to manipulate or change this person when I'm praying for or with or together with them, then it's not that I can't enter into that space, it's that I have to start to realize that that is going to be a part of who I am and what I'm bringing to this space. And to not let it control us. And there's this beautiful picture and image into the life of Jesus that is just exemplifies these five components of healthy prayer space. And yet, in this vignette, in this picture of Jesus' life, we don't hear virtually any words that Jesus says. And so I wanted to be very intentional about going into that space together. And so this particular space happened on one of the last nights of Jesus' life. And he surrounded 12 of his closest friends, and they were having dinner together. And they were enjoying conversation and laughing. And he stopped the conversation kind of mid-stride. And he said, I need to do this. I want to invite you into this space. And so he took a towel, maybe off the table, and he wrapped it around his waist. Very intentionally. Ooh. And I think some of the friends kind of looked at him, what are you doing? I mean, it's important to remember here that Jesus had all of the power. He was the teacher, the master, the CEO of this group of riffraff. And yet he was taking a towel and then he took a pitcher for water, and he filled it up. And he walked up to one of his friends, and he put a basin down at their feet. Their stinky, dirty, sandy, probably camel dung feet. And he got down and he knelt before them, completely out of respect and love and vulnerability and intimacy. And he took their foot and he washed their feet. And not only did he do that with one of them, but he went to all 12 of the people in that room. And he washed each one of their feet. And I just want us to think about how those five sides, those five components of healthy prayer showed up in that moment. And it might not have been spoken. We have no idea what Jesus kind of prayed for with them, and yet I'm willing to bet my life on the fact that he was praying for each one of them. So now we're going to have you take off your shoes, and I'm just kidding. Everybody got a little nervous there. So, but I do want us to remember kind of what is in that space of healthy prayer, and how did Jesus start to lay down this pattern of what to look like, what it would look like to enter into this space of prayer. And so we have this thing called SOAP, which is our way of kind of exploring Scripture, exploring the Bible together. And this is our Bible passage in John. It's going to be on your Sunday papers. And just spend a little time with that, of what is that teaching you about a healthy prayer space, and how can that continue to lay down that pattern for us moving forward? And so we talked a little bit about what that space looks like and how we enter into that space. And now we're going to move a little bit towards some tips for what is bringing someone else with you into this space look like. And the first tip I have for all of us is that there are no right words. There are no right words. So often, we come to this prayer thing thinking that I have to have the right words or the right phrase or know what the right thing to say is in this moment. And yet, there's a realization there that there are no right words. One of the images that came to mind when reflecting on this is a lot of my friends got engaged over the past few years. And every one of the individuals proposing, I remember talking to them beforehand, and they would write out this whole two-page kind of speech that they would give to their loved one as they proposed. And I just always chuckle, because if you ask the person who got proposed to what any of that speech was, and they wouldn't be able to say a single word besides, "Will you marry me?" And so that's a reminder to me of saying, it's not about the right words. It's not about having the right phrases. It's about being willing to enter into that space. And words are important. Obviously, I'm here giving words to this space. I'm bought into the idea that words are important. And yet, there are no right words. That it's about a feeling, about an emotion, about creating that space for both of us to be in and with together. And there's a passage from one of the letters that this guy Paul wrote to the church in Rome. And I think they were having the same question about, shouldn't we have the right words when we're praying with and for each other? And Paul's response to that is, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So that third strand, as we would say, as Jacob's well, shows up in that space where we don't know what to say. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. I love that, because it feels so real to me. How I should pray, right? What are the right words in this space? But the Spirit, that third strand, intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And we enter into those spaces that are hard. That's what we want to create as a community, is a place where we can be who we are and bring all of the aspects of life with us. The joys, the celebrations, the hurt, the pain, and we can enter into that space together. And sometimes there are just places where the only way we can enter in is with sighs too deep for words. And that's okay. The third strand is there. We can trust that it will show up. And that leads me into, if the right words are not what we're shooting for, then maybe it's not even about our own ability. So the next tip is, don't underestimate your own ability to enter into that space. I will totally admit that praying with each other is not necessarily easy. And if it is easy, maybe we have to start questioning where we're at with prayer. And yet it is simple. It's as simple as filling up a pitcher of water and washing someone's feet. Now, that might not be easy for us. It might be hard. And yet, each one of us has our own ability to enter into that space. And it's not even about the ability, it's about recognizing what's already there. Allowing ourselves to enter into that space and recognizing what's already there. And the last tip I want to give is, take a risk. Wherever you are with prayer with and for others, take a risk. For some of us, that might mean we're not really sure about this prayer thing, and so maybe it's holding the door for someone, and as you hold the door and they walk through, you pray with and for them in your own mind. Maybe it's about praying with your family before dinner, or challenging kind of what is the prayer you all say before table grace. Maybe it's about entering into that space with your loved one or spouse or your coworker that's having a tough day. What would it look like to enter into that space with them? And so I want you to take a minute. The box at the bottom of your Sunday paper is just for that. So I want you to really write down, what would it look like to take a risk in your prayer life, and where are you willing to do that? So write it down. So part of what we're moving towards is realizing that this washing of feet ceremony was not meant to end with Jesus and those 12 men that sat around that table, and instead it's a welcoming into a pattern of life. And Jesus at that the end of that dinner, the end of washing their feet, says this, that, "So if I, the master and teacher, the one with all of the authority and power, the CEO, wash your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. I've laid down a pattern for you." What does that pattern look like in our lives? This didn't end with Jesus and his disciples, but instead it is a welcoming in for us. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about next week. And then Easter is a perfect example of how Jesus, in the death and then the bringing back to life, is laying down a pattern of love that is beyond life and death. A pattern that we can all walk into and embrace. So I've asked you all to take a risk, so I'm going to take a risk as well. So I want you all to stand up with me. And I want you to face me, face the middle. And part of this is to be able to look across at the person across the aisle from us and realizing that they're part of this prayer together as well. So I want to have some time of prayer together. And this is scary for me. I'm a professional prayer, and I have no idea how to enter into this space sometimes. But I can't ask you to do it if I'm not willing to do it too. So God, we trust that you show up in this space, that you are here and weaving with us. We take a moment to lift up those prayers that we have in healthy spaces that we wrote down. I just thank you for a willingness to take the risk of writing that down, and I trust that you are there to witness it, to walk alongside us, even if we keep that to ourselves. And I pray again for a continued sense of taking a risk as we enter into what possibilities are out there for entering into a prayer with others and for others and allowing others to pray for us. May we just have a capacity that's ever growing and a community that's willing to foster those relationships. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.